this week, I have been talking to the Lord and praying and talking to the Lord about, you know, and desiring I'm gonna exercise and I'm gonna come off this blood pressure medicine, and I declare that I'm the healed of the Lord, and I'm not gonna be living on this stuff, and I'm gonna lose some weight and so on and so forth. And I just been saying that and saying that. And I woke up one morning, I woke up out of a sound sleep, and all I heard the Lord would say to me, and I'm gonna give you a bunch of D words today. I heard the Lord say to me, he says, "You're declaring and you're decreeing, but what are you doing?" And I shook my head, and he said it to me again. He said, "You're running around here and you're declaring and you're decreeing." He said, "But what are you doing? It's okay to declare and it's okay to decree, but after you declare and decree, faith without works is dead." And so he says, "You keep saying you're going to exercise. You keep talking about," and that's how God talks to me. We talk like, you know, we cool. So he said, you keep talking about you're going to get on that treadmill. You keep saying you're not going to eat late. You keep saying you're going to watch what you eat. And you sit up in school. I'm telling you just what he told me. And every time you get a hunger attack, you run down to the little cafe and you get a bag of potato chips. And you nibble on the potato chips, but you keep declaring and decreeing, but you ain't doing. Now, I'm talking about me now. Why are y'all looking at me in that tone of voice? That's how God dealt with me. And I began to ponder that. And then the Lord began to shift it. And he said, and that's what's happening with my people. He said, they're declaring and they're decreeing, but they're not doing. They're saying it and they're shouting it like they're standing on the word. But then their behavior and their actions are not following what they're declaring. And so I want to talk to you a little bit. I'm not going to talk to you about declaring and decreeing or doing, but I want to talk to you today about hallelujah. And I'm going to go back to 2 Samuel chapter 5 just to show you something there. And then we're going to go to the book of Jonah. And then we're going to go to 1 Samuel. All right? And then I'm going to give you a number of scriptures because I'm excited, because I know God's going to bless you through this word. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 5 one more time. I want to talk to you today about disobedience. I want to talk to you about the price of disobedience and how important it is for you this year to obey God. But I want to show you some things in the scripture, and I want to start with the disobedience part. I want to start with how disobedience can cause you to be deceived. Disobedience can cause disruption in your life. It can also cause destruction in your life. And it can cause major delay in your life. Did you hear what I said? It can cause you to be deceived. It can cause major disruption in your life. It can cause destruction, and it can cause major delays. The thing about disobedience, though, is when you're disobedient to God, the end results never just affect you only. Other folk, including your family members, can be affected by your disobedience. People can suffer needlessly because of your disobedience. And that's why you have to discern whether folk are in obedience or in the will of God and whether they're not. Because if they're not in the will of God, you want to move your tent way away from them. Hear what I'm saying? And while you move your tent way away from, way a distance from them, it becomes your responsibility to model obedience. So hopefully they will see what you're doing and adopt, gravitate to what you're doing and go on and honor God. But you don't want to be caught up in that destruction. You don't want to be caught up in that devastation, or however God plans on capturing their attention and arresting their attention. And I've been around some folk that have disobeyed God and felt some of the punishment, some of the pain that they had to endure as a result of being attached. Now, if you're related to somebody sitting next to you, actually, you can nudge the person sitting next to you and just tell them, you better do the right thing. Because your disobedience can have an effect. Your disobedience in this house can have an effect on this whole house. Families were wiped out because one person chose not to obey God. And even, let's go to Samuel. And I'm telling you, I'm excited today because I'm using my Bible that my mama gave me. Praise the Lord. And been a long time. I use it in Bible school, but I'm using it today. I feel mama today. Praise the Lord. Not mushy like, you know, I'm going to fall apart. And I want her to come back. I don't want to see her right now. Not yet. In a little while, but... Well, I'm said like that man said at the funeral, you know, way down the road, I'll see mama at some point. I'll see her someday in the sweet by and by, but y'all know I ain't trying to go there yet. Y'all ain't, why y'all looking at me? You ain't trying to go either. You know, I can't. Y'all have to pray for me because this print is tiny. All right, 2 Samuel chapter 5. Let me just read this to you. This is what we read last week, and then we'll get to Jonah, and we'll stand and read together. But right now, we'll go to 2 Samuel chapter 5. Look at verse 18. And then the Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim, and that's the valley of giants. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou just deliver them into mine hand? And the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand. And David came to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there and said, the Lord hath broken forth unto mine enemies. Now let me go back to verse 19. David inquired of the Lord, shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand? And the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines in thy hand. And David came to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there and said, the Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters. Therefore he called the name of that place Baal Perazim. Now, and there they left their images, and David and his men burned them, took the trophies, and he burned them. The spoils of war, he burned them. All right? Now, in the same manner, shortly after that, here comes another attack. Here comes another attack. Look at verse 22. And the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim, the valley of giants. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, thou shalt not go up. Now, again, here's two battles. But how many know the instructions to win, or the strategy to win two different battles is different? And sometimes we rest on how God delivered us one time before, and we think it's going to be the exact same way. But in this year, you're going to have to be very sensitive to the Spirit of God and walk in obedience to the Spirit of God if you're going to see great results. And so now, in the first one, he tells him, go up. And so David inquires in this second battle when the Philistines, because they haven't learned their lesson, and you have to understand the enemy that we have is relentless. He is not going to give up just because you stand there and say, well, I'm tired of this. Back up. No, he's not going to give up. He's going to change his little scheme. He's going to change his little tactics, and he's going to come another way. And you're going to have to go back to God and say, okay, God, the first time, this is how you delivered me. But how shall I work out this situation? What do you want me to do? Because David could have just stopped and said, all right. He broke forth before, and I'm going out again. It's the same enemy. Different situation, but it's the same enemy. And because it's the same enemy, I'm going to go out the same way. Because God was with me before. Surely he'll be with me again. And the Lord said to David, this time I don't want you to go up. Thou shalt not go up. He says, but get a compass. Go behind them and come up upon them over against the mulberry trees. Excuse me. And let it be when you hear, and then the choir sang that this morning, the sound. When you hear the sound, when you hear the sound, and listen to me, people of God, every sound is not a godly sound. Every voice that you hear is not God speaking. There are many voices in the earth. There are many sounds in the earth that sound like God. And the enemy will make it look like God. He'll make it look like God, like surely this is everything you could have wished for. And God will not be in it. And that's why this year you've got to be very sensitive to the Spirit of God and walk in obedience to whatever he tells you to do. And he says, let it be when you hear the sound of the going on the top of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself. For then the Lord shall go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. And David did so as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou come to get, yeah, that one, Gezer. All right? And so in his obedience, God delivered him in two distinct ways. But David had to go back and inquire of the Lord. And it can be the same enemy, but God knows how to deal with your enemies, and he knows how to deal with them effectively. All right? So if we're going to be talking about breakthrough, remember I told you last week about breakthrough. If we're going to talk about breakthrough, first of all, you got to recognize, and I've given you this term. Somebody told me I gave the church therapy last Sunday. Praise the Lord. But you got to recognize the big elephant in the room. You got to recognize the big elephant. You got to recognize that you got an issue and you need help. Let me say it again. Even as a counselor, I cannot, if someone comes into my office, if someone's working with me and I'm working with them, it is not my responsibility to tell them what their problem is. The majority, the 50% of the healing is for them to say to me what their issue is. And sometimes people have a hard time getting to that point. And even when I know what the issue is, I still cannot, because I will do more damage when I identify the issue and they don't identify what their issue is. And so you got to be able to acknowledge the elephant in the room and acknowledge that this elephant is bigger than you and that you need help. So God, what do you want me to do? Because some of these elephants that we are dealing with have been with us for a long time. And we fed them like we was at the Barnum and Bailey Circus. We kept feeding them and feeding them. Some of them have been riding that elephant. Hello. But that elephant has hindered you from getting where you need to go in life and in the kingdom. Amen? It has hindered you from where you need to go in the kingdom. And I didn't even know Lady Rudolph had taped this on her iPad. And I'm telling my granddaughter something. All week long, she'd been playing this. I didn't even know it was on the iPad. And on all week long, she gets to that part where we put lust on the thing. And Brother Tyreek was the only one that got up out of his seat and came up and broke through that spirit of lust. Amen? And she keeps playing that part over. And I keep walking in the room and she's playing it over and over again. Because I don't care what you say, people of God, that big elephant is in this house. And you can sit there and act like it ain't there and that ain't your issue and all you want. But God knows the hidden things. He knows the secret things. And I thought it was so interesting that although all of that stuff was on the iPad, every time I walked in the room, that's what my grandbaby was playing. And I kept saying, Bree, put that up, because I don't always like to listen to myself. And I thought that was interesting that she kept playing that part over and over and over again. Maybe it was because it was Tyreek. I don't know. Praise the Lord. Praise God. But the reality is there's no sense, and as I said to you last week, there's no sense in going through the motion of the breakthrough if you're not going to identify the big elephant in the room and tell God, I can't deal with this thing, but you can. You're greater than this big thing that has been set up here that has defied itself against the people of God. Amen? And so, all right, let me move on. So now again, the key here, the point that I want to make is that even in talking about breakthrough, there's a part of that that requires your obedience to God. You have to obey God. God, what do you want me to do? God, how shall I deal with this? And when God gives you the directive, you have to walk in obedience. If you don't, it's going to cost you something. All right, let's go to the book of Jonah. Hallelujah. And you're going to shout today. If you don't matter to me, I'll shout. Hello. But I'm not really looking for you to shout as much as I'm looking for you to walk in obedience. Because that's where the blessing is. That's where the blessing is. And we can come, we can jump, we can spin, we can twirl. But if we're not walking in obedience, Jonah, where are you, Jonah? See, this Bible's so old. It's so old, and all I done used it so much until, you know how my other Bible, I have three of those little black things that come out, and you can, but this one's so old, all of them ripped out. Praise the Lord. But I ain't getting rid of it. Praise the Lord. All right, Jonah chapter 1, verse number 12. Stand to your feet, and then we're going to go to 1 Samuel 15. And I hope to be done. Hallelujah. I hope to be done. Let's read together. Verse 12 only. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. How would you like to tell your friends, it's my fault. I'm the reason for all of this calamity. I'm the culprit that is causing all this chaos and confusion in my house because I simply chose not to obey God. Whew. Let me go to 1 Samuel because I feel the Holy Ghost now. I'm ready to charge right into this. Let me go to 1 Samuel and get to 1 Samuel. Hold your finger in Jonah because we're going to come back there in a minute. 1 Samuel 15. Hallelujah. See, there's a lot of things that we blame on the devil. Pastor Wilder said this a few weeks ago. The devil ain't had nothing to do with your disobedience. You made a choice not to obey God. And so there's repercussions when you don't do the right thing. And the devil ain't had nothing to do with it. Talking about the devil made me do it. He ain't make you do it. You made a choice. If I knew, yesterday we had fruit. If I had an apple here and a banana here, and I knew somebody told me ahead of time that the banana had poison in it, but the apple, if I eat the apple, it's gonna cause my life to be stretched out and I'm going to live a healthy life. What do you think I'm going to do in terms of a choice? Common sense says you better stick with the apple even if you don't like apples. Uh-oh. Because it's not about what you like. It's about your life. Now, you may have a preference for bananas, but whatever in the banana will take you out, then of course you're going to stay away from the banana. Oh, this is a wonderful illustration. Hallelujah. Now, this is hot off the griddle. Praise the Lord. It's hot off the grill. Praise the Lord. Huh? And so, of course, I prefer bananas, but I know I want to live. Y'all missed that one right there. I really like bananas. I like the way they taste. It's smooth. Once I peel them, it's smooth. It's easy going down. I ain't got to chew and chew and chew until. But if I know that what's inside the banana will kill me, then I have to take a little bit of inconvenience and chew what I need to chew in order to live. And so there are some things in the scripture that are so clear and so obvious, and yet we struggle over them. Some things are so crystal clear, and we just say, I can't do that right now. You know, I know it'll benefit me in the long run, but I just can't do it. So I'd rather go over here and suffer for a little while. Perhaps somebody will come and give me a shot and an antidote, or the Holy Ghost will come and cause me to be all right, because that's what we do. We make excuses and think the Holy Ghost is going to arrest us when we walk in disobedience. He's not going to arrest us while you get in your calamity. He's going to keep talking to you and talking to you until you repent. And we'll sit there and say, he gonna make it all right. Ain't no sense in you jumping and shouting over stuff that you didn't do what God told you to do from the beginning. I'm sorry, y'all just standing all too long. All right, 1 Samuel 15. That's all right. I could preach this whole message while you're standing. Verse 22 and 23. Let's read. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Verse 23, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king." You can lose your position and your standing by walking in disobedience. I'm going to help you. All right, you might be seated. We all know, most of us, I won't say we all because I don't want to assume that. Most of us know the story about Jonah, the prophet of God, whose name means dove. He didn't act like a dove. The word of the Lord came to him and said, "I need you to go to Nineveh and I need you to preach. There's people over there and they're getting ready to die. I'm getting ready to wipe them out because their sin has come up before me. And I need you to go to Nineveh and I need you to preach. I need you to preach." Y'all hear that, preachers? "I need you to preach. I need you to go to Nineveh and I need you to preach. Not when you feel like it. Not when you think you're ready. Not when you feel like I got to get my thing all together and then I got to get a new suit to go. I ain't asked you all that and I ain't tell you all that. I need you, Jonah, to go to Nineveh and I need you to preach." Jonah, you don't even have to ask me what to say. When you get there, you're going to know what to say. And Jonah heard the message and he jumps on a ship and goes in the opposite direction of what God has said. Now, mind you, the folk on the ship are minding their own business. They have a plan. They have a purpose, whether it was dealing with fish, whether they were going to try to gain, you know, whether they were fishermen and they were going to raise money and get, you know, to feed their families or whatever. But here comes Jonah, who was supposed to be in the will of God. God told him what to do. He jumps on this ship with these men, and he starts going toward Tarshish and not toward the place that God called him to go. And as he is going, all of a sudden, a storm rises up. And it had to be an unusual storm because the men started having a discussion amongst themselves and said, "Something is wrong about this storm because this is apparently it was not natural." And so the men amongst themselves said, "You need to call on your God, and you need to call on your God, and you need to call on your God and find out what's going on. Why is this thing happening?" Now, mind you, while all of this is going on, the one who is responsible is in the belly of the ship sleeping. Because they're selfish and self-centered and could care no less about nobody else but their present condition and their present circumstances and what they feel is comfortable for them. Ooh, help me, Holy Ghost. Y'all ain't going, well, I ain't worried about y'all liking me. I'm going to preach. And while the storm was raging, and you could tell because he had no concern about nobody else, he was in the bottom of the ship sleeping. And so the sailors get up and they go and wake him up. And they're like, "What's up? What's going on? What's happening here? Why are we going through this? Are you the culprit?" And Jonah has to tell them, "Yes, I have been in the presence of the Lord. And I literally, he says, I ran from the presence of God." You can run, but you can't hide. "I ran in an opposite direction to get away from God because I didn't want to do what God told me to do." Now, mind you, the storm is just going crazy. The men are fearing for their lives. Probably some of them are just throwing up, and all kinds of things are happening on this ship because he is out of the will of God. And so now, because he is out of the will of God, everybody on that ship is suffering because one man has chosen not to obey God. And so Jonah finally comes away from his selfish mentality and says, all right, I've run from the presence of God, and I need to get back. He says, but throw me overboard for your sakes. Because he understood that if you get rid of me, your situation's going to straighten out. Uh-oh. Some of y'all done hooked up and nursing and how can I say it? Fooled around planning with the wrong person. Thinking that things are going to get better. And you'll notice that things have gotten worse, keep getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And at some point, you've got to wake up and you've got to say, I'm out of the will of God. And Jonah said, throw me overboard for your sake. Your life needs to begin. Folk can't get their life straight now because you're in it and you're interfering with the will of God. Folk can't get themselves straightened out because you showed up. And you're supposed to be in the will of God. And God done told you that's not according to his will. Lord, help me today, Jesus. And disobedience will always disrupt your life. Your money will get funny. Your children will get funny. Your relatives will get funny. They'll get funny on your job. I want you to understand that God's in it because he needs you to get back into his will. I'm going to keep looking at you, Sister Renee. You keep telling me that's good, that's good. I'll say no. Hallelujah. For your sake, I need to get off the ship. Throw me. Perhaps God will have mercy on me. But really, I understand that I've stepped out of the will of God. And so y'all throw me overboard and perhaps. And so the Bible says they threw him over. And when they threw him over, everybody else's situation straightened out. Wow. Brother Damien, everything else got calm. When the one who was out of the will of God acknowledged that he was out of the will of God. And they cast him over. And the Bible says the Lord prepared a great fish. And when they threw him over, this great fish swallowed Jonah up. The dove now swallowed him up. And chapter 2, Jonah says this dynamic prayer while he's in the belly of this great fish. I mean, he prays. And it's something when calamity comes and you know you out of the will of God. Calamity, see, that's why I tell you, don't be talking about the devil. God gonna shake the foundation till you get back into his will. Some stuff ain't gonna get right till you get back into his will. Ain't no sense in you decreeing and declaring until you do. And so he makes this long prayer. And by the time he gets done with this prayer, Sister Gwen, he starts praising the Lord in the belly of the fish. Oh, God, I give you praise. I give you glory, and I honor you. And you know the Lord loves praise. So all of a sudden, he praises the Lord so much until all of a sudden this fish goes, whoop! And here comes Jonah. Here comes Jonah up out of the belly of the great fish. And what should have been a three-day journey to get him to Nineveh took my man one day. He made it to Nineveh in one day. He was moving. Moving. Moving quickly because he recognized God is not to be played with. He says what he means what he says. And he made it in one day. And he got there and he preached. He had a little attitude. He got there and he preached. And the Lord told him, he said, I'm going to destroy Nineveh. If they don't get it together, I'm going to destroy them in 40 days. Jonah preached. And by the time Jonah got done preaching, I'm sure he preached with fire. I'm sure he had an anointing on him that just wouldn't wait after all that experience. And he preached, and the whole nation, 120,000 people, repented. The Bible says that they called a fast. Those that were over Nineveh called a fast and said, listen, we have heard this message and we are so, our hearts are so turned toward God until we don't even want the animals. They even put the animals on a fast. Everything got to bring glory to God. Read the scripture. That's what it says. Put the whole nation on a fast, including the animals. Everybody fasted, and 120,000 people turned their hearts to the God. And God changed his mind and said he could not destroy them. Then Jonah gets an attitude. I'm saying, booger, look. You just got thrown. First of all, you could have been destroyed in the sea. You just got thrown overboard, and the sharks could have ate you up, but God prepared a fish. You come up out the water. He chucks you up. You come up out the water. You make a three-day journey in one day, preach a message in the heart of God, and the message of God turns those people's heart back to God, and you sitting here now getting mad because they said they're sorry, and God just delivered you. But again, I want you to see the part, to emphasize the part. As a result of their or his disobedience, look at who was affected. Innocent people minding their own business were affected. Do you not know that because of your disobedience, you can affect even the job that you work on? Ooh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why I tell folk, some of my adjutants, I'm getting on the plane with Pastor because I know if he on there, it ain't going down. You better make sure Pastor's in the will of God. Hello. Don't be riding on that. You better be riding on your own relationship because you don't know who's on there that's running from the will of God. You don't know. All right? That's one example. 1 Samuel chapter 15. What was going on there? Saul's going forth. He's anointed as king. Samuel comes along. The enemy, the Amalek comes out. The Amalekites come out. And they proceed to wage war against the people of God. Samuel comes and gives Saul a word from the Lord. The word of the Lord is that you're going to win the battle, but you are to destroy everything. You are to destroy all the spoils of war, all the booty, and you are to not allow one person to remain alive. That was the command. And so they go out to battle and they fight. And some of the folk that are with Saul gather up some of the booty, the spoils of war. Saul spares the king, brings him back alive, and comes back into the camp. And when the Lord begins to question them, Pastor Clark, didn't I tell you not to bring anything back alive and to destroy everything, even the spoils of war, just destroy it? Didn't I tell you? And didn't I tell you to do it that way? And then you come back and you say, but it was so precious until we just thought it would be wonderful to present it to the Lord. The Lord ain't asked you for that. And so he says, well, what was wrong with that? Because we really were bringing all this stuff back so we can offer it up to the Lord. And so then here comes Samuel. Hath the Lord great delight in sacrifices and offering as opposed to you obeying God? God would rather you obey him than bring your stuff before him. Oh, Lord. See? There's no sense in walking in disobedience and then trying to honor God in your dance and in your offerings and all those wonderful things, and yet your life is full of disobedience. I didn't ask you. Help me, Jesus. I didn't ask you to go in there and take what you want. And my command was specific. Destroy everything, even the spoils of war. I didn't ask you how you feel. I didn't ask you whether they made you feel good. And see, this is what happens with people in the body of Christ. We'll come together and God will give us a command. We know, don't commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Hello. And we know what the command is. And we'll do it, but somehow we think we can praise God or we can bring God a praise and an offering and think it's just going to make everything all right. Look at your name and say, it don't work. It don't work like that. It don't work like that. And that's why sometimes when you're sitting here, it ain't us that our praise ain't going through. It's your praise that's bouncing off the ceiling and bouncing back, because God is not receiving your sacrifice because he wants your obedience. Now, let me say this to you. But what happens when we come together corporately, if that's how you living, it affects everybody else in the house. And that's why you might think we a little weird and we a little strange, but that's why we can sit here and discern something's in the atmosphere that's hindering our praise from getting through to Almighty God. Because somebody in the camp is doing something that is affecting our worship. Somebody's singing on the choir that ain't doing something that's affecting our worship. Somebody's in the worship team doing something that's affecting my worship. Somebody's playing an instrument. Somebody ushering. Somebody sitting on my row. Y'all ain't saying nothing. That's affecting my hallelujah. That's affecting. And I don't know about you, but I need a breakthrough. I don't need nobody. Brother Tyreek, you don't need nobody hanging around you, dealing with you, that's going to hinder you from getting where you need to get to in God. Come on, somebody. I ain't got to play no games. I recognize the big elephant, but if I hook up with somebody who is outside the will of God and I keep running with them, then I need to isolate myself and model obedience and hope they catch it. I have to model it, Pastor Trofield, and hope they catch it, because we've been going around this mountain long enough. You too old. You, let me say it again. You too old. You've been in God too long to keep coming back to the same old place. Talking about but God, I don't know. And you don't even realize God is shaking up your world. He rocking your world, trying to get your attention and trying to make you understand, if you don't do it my way, it will never get done. Your money gonna keep acting funny till you do it my way. Your children gonna keep acting crazy till you do it my way. Disobedience will disrupt your life. It'll disrupt your whole foundation. And if you're not careful, it'll cause some destruction. You ought to just tap your neighbor and say, don't you think you ought to be in a better place by now? And I'm not talking about a house. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about in God. That even when the money is funny, I still got my integrity. I still can walk confident. I don't get messed up. I don't get disturbed. I don't lose my mind. I don't go crazy and run down to play the picket. I'm at peace because I know that I'm walking in the will of God. Ah, what about? I declare the deliverance is coming to this house today in the name of Jesus. You're going to get delivered once and for all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have the Lord great delight in the sacrifices and the offerings, and yet you will not obey me. And he says, no, to obey God is better than a sacrifice. You don't want to get to the point that God will reject you. And not reject you physically, but reject what he's called you to do. Because you chose to walk in disobedience to his word. You mean, can he take my calling back? Can he take my gifting back? Yes. He can save your life. But he can raise somebody else up to do what you do. Y'all ain't saying nothing. I said he can raise somebody else up. All while Saul was on the throne, the Lord was working behind the scenes, laying his hands all over David. Boy, I don't care, you in the background, you ain't saying nothing, but I got a plan. I don't care what you see and who you see on the throne. I got a plan for your life, because you will walk humbly before me. I'm rejecting that one because he won't obey me, but I know you. You will obey me. You will obey me no matter what. No matter what they say, you will obey me. Yeah, you might have some flaws, but you're going to always come back and tell me that I love God more than I love everything else. Woo. Hallelujah. I love God more. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I love God more. I love him more. I love him more than sex. I love him more than money. I love him more than the lotto. Come on. I love him more than an adulterous relationship. I love him more than going out with somebody who is not supposed to be in my life. For God I'll live and for God I'll die. Yeah, Shabbat. I love him more than the money in my pocket. That's why I can trust him and give him what belongs to him, because I love him more. Because I realize that's not a natural lot of glory to God. That's something I can bank on, because if I give into that, tell your neighbor, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. We ain't talking about no pot of gold. We talk about what's coming out of heaven. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Shall men give into your bosom? Hallelujah. Tap your neighbor and say, you better trust him. You better trust him to the point that you obey him. Because a whole lot of folks say, I trust God, I trust God. But they don't walk in obedience to God. But you got to come to the point where you trust him, to the point that you obey him. No matter what it looks like. God, help us today. Help us today. Help us today. I trust you, God. I trust you. I will not walk in disobedience to the point that it brings calamity into my house. I'm not going to watch my children suffer because I won't do the right thing. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me today. I'm not going to sit back and disobey God until it causes everything that around me. My car's falling apart. My lights keep going out. The boiler's going out. Why don't you think you can make ends meet? Because you won't obey God. Every time I turn around, it's something. Because you know why? The Bible says when you won't give to God what belongs to him, it's like having holes in your pocket. It'll cause devastation. It'll cause delay. Come on, ask your neighbor, don't you think you should be a little bit further than where you are right now? And I ain't talking about stealth. I'm talking about in God. Come on, nudge your neighbor. Don't you think you ought to be a little bit further in God than where you are right now? Stop making excuses for your disobedience. The Lord says to us, prove me now. Prove me. You know, back in the day when somebody said, prove it. You know, I was down for that. Because if I said it, I could back it up. Prove to me you can do that problem. Oh, I would whip it out. God says, prove me. You fail to realize that you're suffering needlessly. This ain't no attack from the devil. You put yourself in this position. You want another example? Sure. I'll give you another one. Because I'm going to walk through the Bible. Joshua, chapter 6, chapter 7. The Lord promised them they was coming into the promised land, Brother Dean. We're coming into the promised land. We're coming into Jericho. He says, when you get to Jericho, I'm going to give you Jericho. When you hear the sound. When you hear the sound. Here we go again. When you hear the sound, then shout. For God has given you the city. Now he's given it to you, but the instruction is, once you get in there, Jericho belongs to the Lord. That's the first root. That's the first part. I'm giving you all of Canaan, but I'm asking you, because you know my principle of tithing and offering, that you give me the first part. Joshua, yeah, sure, let's go. Everything in there, other than the silver and the gold that you can bring into the house of the Lord, everything else belongs to the Lord and got to be destroyed. Except Rahab and her household. They march into the city, Sister Dawn. They win the battle. They take the city. See, God knows what you're doing when ain't nobody else looking. Huh? God knows what you're doing when ain't nobody else looking. So they get in and they celebrate the Lord. And they just giving God the praise and the glory and the honor. And all of a sudden they get ready. The enemy rises up and the another city comes and rises up against them. The city of Ai. Now God had already told them he was going to give them the victory. He sends 3,000 men out to fight. 3,000 men are sent out to fight against the city of Ai. When they go out to fight Ai, the Bible says that those folk smote Israel. And 36 men were lost. And somebody might say, well, that ain't a whole lot out of 3,000. Listen, when God's in it, 36 men ain't got no business dying. Y'all ain't saying nothing. 36 is too much. They come back. The Bible says they ran back for their life. Now, God had already given them a word. And they were supposed to be victorious, but they lost the battle and they ran back. And they went back to the city and Joshua was devastated because Joshua was like, God, you told us that you were going to give us this city and we were going to get this battle. And the Lord said, wait a minute, Joshua, wait a minute, boy. There is an accursed thing amongst you. Something in the camp ain't right. Joshua like, what are you? There's an accursed thing amongst you. Joshua didn't hesitate. Fine. Want to find out what it is? We're going down in prayer. We're going down in fasting. Because we got to find out where this stuff is. What's going on? Why did we lose this battle? Because God said we weren't supposed to lose it. They come back together. They pray. And find out. One little buzzard, one little booger in the camp, went over there in Jericho and thought he could get away with taking some of the booty. And he took it, and he knew he was wrong, because he took it, Mother Ellaby, and he came back and hid it in his camp, in his tent, buried it down under the ground in his tent. Because he couldn't resist the temptation to take what didn't belong to him. But it belonged to the Lord. Anytime you take what belongs to God, you put yourself in jeopardy. Anytime you take what belongs to God, you put yourself in jeopardy. So the Lord said, this is not only going to affect him, but this affects the whole camp. We lost the battle. And in the process, 36 men died because of one man who got greedy. allow. And so they came together, they prayed, and they found out it was Achan. And so they pulled Achan out to the front. See what happens when you walk in disobedience? First of all, the whole camp is affected. 36 folk die. And now we're going to find out what happened. They call him out. He finally tells them it's in his camp. Joshua sends the men in there to dig it up. And then on the day of discipline, somebody say the day of discipline, he calls Achan and his sons and his daughters and all of his cattle and everything that belonged to him. Brought him out before the camp. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, because he disobeyed God, and it had an effect on the body, the Bible says they stoned him. And when you study that out, the custom was, during that time, the custom was to not only stone Achan, but to stone his sons, his daughters, and all of his cattle, and then burn them. And then they stoned them to death. Now notice now, his sons and his daughters and his asses and his camels, they had nothing to do with what that man did. But it cost them all their life. And the Bible says they stoned them and then they burned them because of one man's disobedience. One man's disobedience. And after they did the punishment, they went out and fought the battle of Ai and they won. The Bible calls the place where Achan and his family were destroyed Achor, which means the valley of trouble, the place of trouble. And some of y'all are in that place of trouble, but ain't got nothing to do with somebody else's fault. It's your own fault. Because you won't obey God. Hallelujah. I got a whole lot more to say. And time is of the essence. But there is a price to pay for your disobedience. My disobedience to God will affect my family. It will not only affect my family, my son, my daughter. It'll affect this church. If I walk in and continue to walk in disobedience before God and will not carry out his will and do what he asked me to do, it will affect those that are close to me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And I'm determined, Dr. Jones, that I'm going to obey God no matter what. I can't afford. When you are in the place of indecision and you are not sure of the will of God, then you need to stand still until his will becomes clear. And I want to say to this house, y'all stop saying God said when you're not sure what God said. God is not going to tell Sister Suzette, who's a married woman, that she's going to end up marrying me. I'm a married man. Her husband sitting over in the corner, my wife sitting up front, and God speaking to us, we're going to get hooked up together. God don't work like that. And some of this stuff we saying God said is just pure foolishness. And it doesn't come from the Spirit of God. It comes out of our own spirit, and it ain't the recreated spirit. It comes out of our flesh. Because of a crazy desire that you have. And I want to tell you something. Anything God has for you, listen, you ain't got to chase it down. You ain't got to chase it down. Whatever God has for you, whatever he has for you, he will give you a strategy. You ain't got to be running out there making yourself look like a fool. The fool has said in his heart, No God. Some of you know how we say, there is no God, but you read the scripture. The fool has said in his heart, and that's in italics, but the fool has said in his heart, no God. You know what the fool is saying? I want it my way. So the fool says to God, no God, I know you said she ain't for me, but I don't care what you say. And you keep trying, and you keep trying, and you keep doing it the same old way, and you see that it ain't working. Because what God has done, and you keep trying to go to folk to try to bail you out, and you see that's drying up too. I'm here to prophesy to you today. Every door is being shut. Every avenue is being, every source of water is being dried up. Come on, somebody. And folks are starting to tell you no, and the reason they're telling you no is because God's getting ready to shake up your world, and either you're going to trust him and obey him, or you will not. The cattle on 1,000 hills belongs to him. Oh, hallelujah. God is looking for a people who will obey him no matter what. No matter what. That you will walk in obedience before him, whatever he tells you to do, and it's not for you to judge. Well, I don't know if I should go and give her that word. She might snap at me. The Lord ain't asked you all that. He told Jonah, go to Nineveh. I got a message for the people. If he done told you, if it's what he told you to do, then the door will be open for that word to be received. If you're out of the will of God, then they have every right to put you in your place. Uh-oh. Y'all heard what I said? Don't come talking to me about God got another wife over in Georgia for you. And he said, leave Sheila alone. Huh? Because I'm going to shut you down. I'm going to shut you down. The Lord ain't nothing in Georgia I want. Ain't no Georgia peach there that I ain't. Y'all ain't saying nothing. So you will, and folks will come to you. They'll come to you and they'll say all kinds of crazy stuff. You got to shut it down. The Lord said, I've seen you wailing all week long. If you wasn't wailing, then you tell him, I'm sorry, you got the wrong person because I wasn't wailing all. In fact, I've been happy all week long. Because you got to help folk walk in obedience. And you got to model obedience. And you do it in love. Hallelujah. Can I give you some scriptures? Sure, let me give you some scriptures. Pull out your pens and paper. And perhaps I'll get a chance to come back and finish all of this. Disobedience will disrupt your life. What's the remedy for disobedience? And I'll just give you the scriptures. You can read them at your leisure. 1 Samuel 15:22. That way you'll be ahead of the game when I come back to finish. Deuteronomy 26:16. Joshua 1:5. Jeremiah 7:23. And Acts 5:29. Obedience is the remedy for disobedience. Ain't no way of getting around it. Ain't no sense of you going in the prayer room crying out to God. He's simply saying, obey me. That's the remedy. And I said, oh God, I'm sorry. I just need you. No, just wipe your tears, blow your nose, and just obey God. That's the remedy for your disobedience. Just obey God. The Bible says Noah obeyed God. He did what God commanded him to do, even when it was Pastor Chauvel, against all odds. When they had never heard of rain, Noah kept right on preaching the message and kept right on building the ark because he honored God by his obedience. Abraham obeyed God when everybody would have said he was crazy. Take your son. Somebody would have whispered in his ear, what you mean take your son? That ain't God. You talking about take your son? You waited 90 years, almost 100 years to have that boy. Surely God ain't telling you to take your son, your only son, and offer him up. Surely that can't be God. And Abraham paid no attention to none of that. He took his son, his only son, and he told his servants, me and the ladder going up, but we will return because he obeyed God. not trying to make excuses. Look at your neighbor and say, stop trying to make excuses for your mess. Stop trying to make excuses for your disobedience. The only remedy for your disobedience is to obey God. Do the right thing. Do what God tells you to do. Do what he tells you to do. Paul, you want New Testament? Let's go to New Testament. Paul stood before King Agrippa. And King Agrippa tried to tell him, you're not going to preach this message. And Paul said to him, listen, I've got to obey God. I've got to obey God and carry out the heavenly vision that God gave me. I will obey God and I will not obey you. Even Jesus obeyed the will of his Father. And some of y'all, check it out now. Some of y'all are learning how to obey because you've suffered and you're still suffering. You've learned obedience by the things that you've suffered. Huh? And some of you are suffering right now. Yeah, it's a suffering way. I ain't say all that. I'm telling you, you're learning obedience because God has placed you in a place where nobody can help you except God. And if he don't intervene, it won't get done. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And you're going to learn how to obey him because of the things that you've gone through. Now, I'm telling you, I don't like suffering. So he may have to tell me once and twice, but after that, that's it. I ain't trying to let the wind blow and my money blow out the window. Once or twice, even as a kid, my brothers will tell you, my family will tell you, I didn't like getting spanked. I didn't like getting beat. I didn't like punishment. I ain't like it at all. So I was always the one, I ain't do it. I wasn't there. No, that was, and I was always telling, because I wasn't going to get beat. Y'all see my father's hands, and he has tagged some of you brothers upside your head. He'll knock the wind out of you. And my father used to beat just like that when we was growing up. I ain't like it. So you didn't have to worry about me. I was always Mr. Passive. Yes, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yeah. I can count on one hand how many times I got beat, because I ain't play that. No. But some of y'all must like it. Spank me. Just spank me. Some of y'all just like that. See, y'all. Y'all just left the room. That's a shame. They just left the room. Some folk like that stuff. They think, sometimes people think that, you know, when punishment, you can, why y'all laughing back there? What y'all know about that? I'm going to do a survey. Sister Crawford back there, she done woke up. She would sleep the whole service. Soon as I said spank me, she woke up. Ain't that something another? Mothers, we're going to have to pray. We're going to have to pray. Praise the Lord. All right. So anyway, what was I saying? That some folk like punishment. I don't like punishment. God got to tell me once or twice, that's it. Are you sure, God? Yes, that's what I'm telling you to do. Okay, you ain't got nothing to worry about. I'm going to do it. People look at me sometimes when I give stuff away. How could you have done that? How could you? Because God told me to do it. And see, when God tells you to do it, there's a peace. I don't worry about that stuff. God takes good care of me. He does. He takes good. Don't I look pretty good for God? He takes good care of me. Praise God. All right, let me give you some other scriptures. We're going home. The blessings promised for obedience, and I'll just give you the scripture, we'll come back. Isaiah 1:19, of course you know that one, right? If you be willing and obedient, you'll either go to Exodus 19:5, Deuteronomy 5:29, blessing, James 1:25. And Matthew 7:24. Amen. Everybody got it? All right, they're on the CD.
But I'll come back and I'll talk to you about other scriptures that talk about disobedience. And then we'll talk about the blessings of obedience. And I'll come back and give you all of that. But were you blessed by the word of the Lord today? I pray that you heard the heart of God. I pray that you heard the heart of God. I don't take it lightly, even though I might jest and joke. This is serious. This year, we have to obey God. I was talking to someone last week. They came up to me and they said, you know, I have to obey God this year. I don't care what it is, whatever God tells me, I got to do it. And that's the command. We have to walk in obedience. We have to do what God says to do, no matter what. You know, sometimes we think God will say something, and we'll make mistakes. We are human. We will make mistakes. But this is the best place to make those mistakes. Amongst family. Amen? This is the place where you can make mistakes. Family loves you and they can love you and help you around back and help back to wholeness. Amen? Hallelujah. This year, there is a cost for your disobedience. And it is clear that we need to walk in obedience. If we're going to experience the breakthrough that we so shouted about last week, and I believe God is the God of breakthrough, and He wants to break us through and cause us to break through in every area of our life that's contrary to His word. But we must obey Him. And in every situation, we must get His will for our lives in that situation. In the name of the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you today. Thank you for your word. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We have heard your instruction, and we clearly say today that we understand that the only remedy for disobedience is obedience. Obedience to your will. And so today we corporately, first individually and then corporately, we say yes to your will. Yes to your will, Father. That you called us to do, that you're asking us to do, we say yes, Lord. All of our might, with all of our strength, with all of our heart, we say an eternal yes to you. We will follow hard after you, and we will obey your word. We will do what you've called us to do. Humble ourselves. Pray, and we turn from our wicked ways, and then we seek your face. We have heard from heaven and we will hear from heaven. You will forgive our sins. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we say thank you. Thank you. That we are an obedient people. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. All your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. Perhaps you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord.